All right, welcome everyone to the March 2011 BlendSig meeting. And today our guest is Frank Levin. Frank is a tablet MVP, but not for much longer because as you can see on the screen, or you may have heard, and I hope I'm not letting too much of the cat out of the bag, Frank, but Frank is getting ready to begin a position at Microsoft as a user experience developer evangelist. So welcome, Frank.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I've had the good fortune of working with Frank on his Silverlight 4 book. We've known each other for a bunch of years, and so I'm really looking forward to today. So our first question, Frankie, is usually what is your current position? But why don't you tell us, be a little freeform with that and tell us where you're coming from and where you're going.
I'm in a bit of a lame duck session right now. I am currently a managing consultant at Accela Consulting, a consulting firm based in D.C., Northern Virginia. Starting next week, I will actually be assimilated and become a Microsoft employee. I will be a user experience developer evangelist for the public sector East team. Say that 10 times fast.
That.
I wonder what it will say on my business card and if we can fit that all in.
Okay, so I know it probably confuses some folks that you're a tablet MVP, but you've been doing Silverlight as long as I've known you.
I have, actually, and it's not that much of a stretch. When you're doing tablet PC work, and believe me, you're using products that have nothing to do with anything but a fruit or robot on them, it's always hard to tell jokes on a live meeting because you never know if people are laughing or not. It was all Windows Forms, and then ultimately Windows Forms evolved into WPF. And it's not a big stretch of the imagination to go from WPF to Silverlight. So I've been doing Silverlight since version 1, late 2007. Pete Brown and I used to work at Applied Information Systems, another company also in the D.C. area, and he was all excited about Silverlight and version 1, and I looked at it and I thought, well, once this gets a CLR behind it, I think this is going to be really change the world. And slowly but surely, I got into the JavaScript version of version 1, and then when 2.0 came out and subsequent versions, I really got into it. So much so that I signed up to do a Silverlight 3 book, which ultimately became a Silverlight 4 book. And so 2009 was a very busy year because my son was also born that year. So the book and my son found out about my son about a week after I signed the book deal. And that was quite a year.
Would you just maybe sit a little closer to your microphone or something? That's kind of fading in and out there.
Okay, I won't move. Is that better?
Perfect. Don't move. Right there. So, how about Blend? How long have you been interested or using Blend?
I was thinking about this the other day, the exact moment I first loaded up Blend. And I think it was when I was putting together a Silverlight 1-based Christmas card that I was doing. It's still working. It's still up there. And I just I have a background in Flash. I used to do a lot of Flash animation in the late 90s and early 2000s. And so when I first saw it, I wasn't sure if I was looking at Adobe Illustrator or the Flash program. It didn't seem immediately alien to me, but it didn't seem immediately familiar. But it kind of grew on me. And certainly in the days before Visual Studio got really good at rendering XAML, it was really the only alternative. It was either that or the text. You know, just editing the raw text in either Notepad or Visual Studio.
Yeah, a lot of imagination involved in that.
A lot of imagination in that. And we're not just talking about the creative kind. It really reminded me of the early HTML days when before there was any good GUI tools for HTML. That you had to change HTML and then reload. And then up until recently, it's been like that for Silverlight as well.
So do you, I know you've done a bunch of work with Photoshop and Illustrator and stuff, and my guess is we're going to probably see some some stuff maybe today? Do you have anything in your slide deck today about some of your creations for movie posters?
You know, I certainly can bring that up when we
share. You know, and you don't have to. I'm just used to seeing it. And folks who have seen your live presentations. So Frank does a lot of creative stuff with movie posters, and it's become a hit at a lot of our regional events. But so that, that always brings up the question of whether or not you consider yourself more a designer or a developer.
I think I'm a designer trapped in a developer's body. I think that's a good way to put it. I was always more inclined towards taking a more artistic career, but a lot of folks in my family didn't think that was a good thing. So when it came time to go to college, it was pretty clear I was going to take an engineering path. And what's nice, though, about picking computer science is that you can have an art studio in your laptop. And I didn't have a laptop when I was in college because, I was a little too old for that. The laptops were around, but really expensive. But, I did have a computer. And in that computer, not only was I able to do my homework, but I was able to, learn Photoshop and do a lot of artistic work as well.
So what percentage of your time would you say you spend in Blend versus Visual Studio?
That varies. As Visual Studio has gotten better, I find myself spending probably maybe now two-thirds of Visual Studio to one-third of Blend. But it really depends on what phase of the project I'm in. I mean, if I'm in more of the design mode, I spend more time in Blend. It probably averages out to 50-50.
Cool. So our favorite topic here, of course, is Blend. And what is your favorite feature of Blend? Either the thing that you think is the coolest or the thing that you get the most productivity value out of.
I think the coolest thing is actually what we're going to be talking about today, and that's Sketchflow. I think Sketchflow is one of the most innovative tools that there exists in the Microsoft design space.
Great. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it. We've had this conversation many times that I'm not the Sketchflow champion that I should be. So I'm looking forward to learning a bunch today.
So I did hear you do have a section in your upcoming book because I talked up Sketchflow so many times. You are at least going to cover it.
Yeah, I'm going to dedicate that section to you.
For those of you who don't know, Joel was a technical reviewer on my book. So we have a lot of back going back and forth.
So speaking of books and such nonsense, do you have any little projects or books or websites or anything like that that either you're involved with or you're excited about that you want to share with the group today?
Well, I do know that my publisher is going ahead with the second edition of my book for the cover Silverlight 5, but I've had to bow out of it because I don't really know what my time commitment is going to be going forward. I do have a couple of ideas that will fit in nicely with my new role as a public sector UX developer evangelist. I got to get used to saying that.
I think just UXD. We'll just call you an UXD.
It just put the M in there for Microsoft, so must be. My new Twitter handle. I mean, there are some things that are coming down the pike that I think will be interesting. And I have some ideas, let me put it that way.
Great. Well, we look forward to seeing it and certainly have you back on the show sometime to share those with us.
Great.
All right, so even though we love Blend, we, of course, also like to talk about other technologies. So what's going on out there right now that's not Blend or XAML related? What tech do you think is like the coolest? What's a neat thing happening?
I like Surface 2.0. Surface 2.0 has a lot of potential. The cost has come down, and we also have the cost of having a unit has gone down, as well as the technology is such that it can be not just on a flat surface, but it could be hung on the wall. I think that's really going to change things. And as the price of a multi-touch gets more and more cheaper, then I think we're going to see it in more and more applications. And when more and more applications means there's going to be more and more developers and more developer demand for multi-touch systems.
Now, is the multi-touch stuff, is that something that's already come to tablet or in the works or...?
There's already a lot of multi-touch functionality built into WPF4.
Yeah, we're losing your mic again. I'm sorry, Frank.
Okay, how about now?
Yeah, that's better.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
There's already a large degree of functionality in WPF4 for multi-touch, and to a lesser extent, Silverlight 4. But I think that, you know, the tablet SDK has been around since 2002, 2003, and it already includes rich handwriting recognition, and the touch portion of it has been added later. But I think touch is something that has evolved over time, and it's touch, because of various phone, popular phone models, has become a common actually conventions as far as pinch and zoom and slide, so much so that there's even a couple of car commercials I saw that this car was driving through, you know, an urban landscape, and then somebody said, a voiceover said, well, what if I wanted to go to the country, and they dragged the picture of the background and it changed the background. So if you're seeing something in car commercials, the technology's kind of gone mainstream. It's not just us geeks playing around with it, and I think that says a lot about for what the future of what we'll be doing will be like.
Okay. So the last question that we always ask here is, for some, the most important, and that is Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, I love Star Wars.
Star Wars it is.
Yeah, I can't deny.